soul. Breaking the yoke of bondage through the power of the Word of God. Join Pastor Jackson and friends as we rightly divide the Word of Truth. You can find My Gospel Soul on Facebook, Twitter, but you can also find me, Denise Jackson, on Facebook and Twitter as well. Now, to keep up with us, also on the Denise Jackson Ministries website. That's at www.denisejacksonministries.yolasite.com. And remember, with God, all things are possible.
In the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it reads, "They that wait upon the Lord shall
renew your strength, mount up with wings as eagles. Renew your strength, mount up with wings as eagles. Run and don't be weary, walk and not faint. Run and don't be weary, walk and not faint. Hey, renew your strength, mount up with wings as eagles. Renew your strength, mount up with wings as eagles. Run and don't be weary, walk and not faint. Run and don't be weary, walk and not faint.
Hey, the Lord, I renew my strength. So I'm a mount up with wings as eagles.
I'm in the presence of the heathen. okay. The devil meant it for evil, but it worked out in my favor. My enemies is killed with kindness and beaten with prayer. The smile on my face is cause I'm praising the Lord. On my knees praying to God for victory and war. Mount up.
Renew your strength, mount up with wings and eagles. Renew your strength, mount up with wings and
my gospel soul with Pastor J.C.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Hey, Ray, can you hear me?
All the time, all the time.
What's going on out in the Crookaletto?
Oh, ain't nothing going on. You know, people just sitting around chilling, trying to stay away from this COVID-19.
Oh, that old Corona-Rona.
What?
Yes, yes.
What's going on out in the H-Town?
Man, shenanigans, man. You know, people this weekend, well, next week, you know, they're going to be, you know, pushing the whole face mask thing. So, you know, people out here started Friday. So it's like the beauty supply has the cash register in the doorway. You got a line all the way down from the beauty supply to the dollar store to the Fiesta. From the family, it's crazy, man. It's I guess the new way of shopping. I guess I don't know. It's something else, you know.
Somebody snatch that cash register out their front door.
For real. But
see, I don't think they really looking at the. But yeah, what you say, the dangers of
yep.
being in the doorway and all this other stuff. But I don't.
You know, I agree. I listen. First of all, we are people of faith. Not right now.
All the time.
We are people of faith, and we walk by faith and not by sight. But we also have to use wisdom. So, everybody
right.
that has to get back out there and has to get back to it, listen. Just cover yourself. Make sure that you use wisdom. One thing I do want to say about this whole. Gloving up and masking up. We got to remember that, you know, some people are not using gloves. But even
right.
if you're using gloves, you have to be careful not to touch the gloves. You know, some people, when they get ready to take the gloves off, they touch, you know, they touch the part. Anyway, I'm just saying, we need to be cautious. Yeah, mindful, because. Also, people are, we went into Home Depot this morning, and you barely saw people with masks on, barely. Just a couple people here and there you saw with masks on. People, you know, people want to say black people, but baby, it was black people, white people, brown people, yellow people, green people. Everybody walking around, no mask, no nothing. And that's why I say, I hear people say, well, I got faith. I trust in God. And the corona ain't real. But I say, man, it's people I know that had it. So I can't put myself on that side of the experience. You know what I'm saying? What people say. Oh, it ain't real. Listen, this lady, Ray, had her daughter out there, young daughter, mm-hmm. no mask on, no gloves, just like everything was A-okay. It was crazy. It was crazy, man.
People not really being cautious, you know, because I think people are saying that it's not airborne. I mean, it's not just floating around. They're saying people... coughing and all that stuff could carry it, but I don't think they really know as far as to how
yeah.
it's being transmitted.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we need to be mindful or cautious to
yeah.
any scenario in which it could be transmitted or passed on to the next person.
And that's the truth, man. But and watch this. You're dealing with your mom.
Right.
I know a couple of elderly people. I wouldn't dare put them at risk. You get what I'm saying? So if
right.
that means that I know I'm going to be moving around, then guess what? I'm not going to visit them. I'm not going to I'm not going to go, because I can face, well, I don't have an iPhone, but I can duo Facebook or however them,
right,
and make sure they're all right. But we also are dealing with a generation that really are not thinking about that. They in and out. Oh, it was the famous comedian. Ooh, what's this lady name? She's a female comedian. Her hair is short. And she said she had to keep her daughter from coming to her house. She told her daughter, she said, okay, you like to go out and do all this stuff. You ain't going to stop. So I tell you what, you can't come to my house. You can't come to my house because you're not going to get my husband sick and you're not going to get me sick. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And so she banned her daughter from her house. It ain't that she don't love her. It's just that, you know, people and you being reckless. You being reckless,
right,
according to what's happening today. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's what I'm looking at. All right.
Which
right.
I understand
Thank
that,
you
know,
for...
I respect that. So.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I just said I respect her wishes, you know what I'm saying? I mean, hey, she said don't come over there, you know what it is.
Yeah, you know what it is. I mean, and she's scary looking too, so I pretty much think the girl took her serious. So we're going to take a break. I'm going to let the people know what's going on in the weather. Man, we had some bipolar weather out here, right? It was crazy. I was like, do the sun want to come out? Do it want to rain? You know, what does it want to do? Man, it was acting a fool out here. So what I'm going to do, y'all know I like to tell you what's going on in your weather. Ray gonna stay on here with me. We got a good show lined up for you today. We're gonna be playing music from all kinds of indie artists. If you have music you would like for us to play and you are unsigned, okay, then you need to give us a call or, you know, drop us a line at mygospelsoul@live.com and we will play your music. Right now it's partly cloudy. This evening, then becoming mostly cloudy, a slight chance of showers, lows in the lower 70s, west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. The chance of rain is at 20%. Sunday is going to be partly sunny, highs in the mid-80s, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And for Sunday night, mostly clear, lows in the lower 60s, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Let's see what this good old Monday has in store for you. That's if they let me look at it. How about that? Uh-oh, we might have something. There we go. Monday looks like sunshine, y'all. It says sunny, highs in the upper 70s, north wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, and for Monday evening, clear, lows around 60, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming east after midnight. You're listening to My Gospel Soul, where we're breaking the yoke of bondage through the power of the Word of God. Me and Trainer Ray shall be right back after this song, and we're going to get right back into some good conversation because I got some topics I want us to chew up. How about that, Ray?
All the time. I'm ready. I'm with you.
All right. We'll be right back.
Forgiveness has me on the rise. Jesus is my my sword and shield. All my sins he paid the bill. Yes, I know that he is real. That's why I call his name. I call him
my Father.
Welcome back, welcome back. That was none other than your very own Queenie with my song Father. What do you think about it, right?
Hey, it sounds like a good song to me. You heard me, Father. Can you hear me?
Oh, you sang in it. You better sing. You better listen, I'll go into a shout over in this house. Glory to God. Listen.
Oh,
okay. I got some topics I posted today, you know, because it's a couple of things that, what can I say, that I just wanted to know what other people think. Now, I'm going to drop this. Let me drop this in your spirit, Ray. What do you think about, okay, say you get with your new boo, right?
Okay.
And your new boo is constantly talking about their ex-boo. How you feel about that? Just go and give us a little synopsis.
Well, you know.
Of what you think about it.
If I got a new boo and she's constantly talking about her old boo, I think she needs to go be with her old boo. Because I can't be the new boo. Every time you're talking about the old boo. You hear me?
The old boo.
Ain't no need us sitting here talking about. Because after a while, I'm going to be like, look, why is you keep talking about this man? I'm tired of hearing this man. You feel me? So apparently, to me personally, when people go to talking about something over and over and over, and I tell people this all the time. I said, when they say they're not worried about something, then they'll go back and talk about that same subject. I said, apparently, it's on your mind for you to speak on it all the time.
Right.
If I'm with a new boo and she's talking about her old boo, apparently he's still on her mind. I think that's where she needs to be because it's not settled in her soul yet as far as where she want to be at.
And, you know, sometimes that person did them so wrong, listen.
Yeah?
So wrong that they just can't, like you say, you got some unresolved stuff. You need to call that person and you need to say, hey, it's some stuff that I need to get off my chest about this situation. Because everybody needs closure. Some of us can just get through, just leave you alone and go on about our business. You know, some folk can do that. But it's some folk, man, if they were really, really into you and and they felt like you just did them a disservice, and they still into you. Because, see, when somebody messed over you, it don't mean you fell out of love with them. It means that they were doing disrespectful stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think sometimes people don't want to admit that they still have feelings for a person because it's an element of looking like a fool. You get what I'm saying? So they rather just they rather just dog you out and talk about you and do this. You get what I'm saying? I had that experience with somebody where you break up with them and the first thing they want to do is talk about you, talk about your mama, talk about your family, just go crazy on you.
You're right. And people would do that because they so disgusted or upset with you about nothing, pretty much. But my thing is, why would you want to talk about me and my mom and all this other stuff? You know what I'm saying? I don't understand it. But you got people that are out there like that.
Yeah, you're right. Because I was, that's the thing that used to always baffle me. If you through with me, why don't you just be through with me? See, because I got to,
right.
I can be through. You know what I'm saying? I could be so through till you can't find me. You feel what I'm saying?
All the time.
And I never was one of them people that's going to call up your whole family, get on Facebook, run you down, call everybody I run. You know, you with that? You know, oh, girl, he did. No. I believe it's somebody for everybody. That's what I believe.
Right.
And I just believe that if it didn't work out between me and you, that just means that we're not wasting each other's time. Now I'm out of the way and you out the way. You get what I'm saying? And we both can get with who we're supposed to be with.
So let's move on. That's right.
Let's move on. I heard this guy say one time, he said, the lady is going to realize that he's the love of her life. So he's just sitting waiting for her to figure it out. And I told him, I say, and you going to be waiting.
All the time. You're going to be waiting for a long time.
Yeah.
Some people just don't want to let go either. You know, you got those people out there that just don't want to let go, even though she's let go. But they sitting back like, no, that's my love right there. That's going to be my girl. And you sitting back just waiting. Christmas ain't came by two or three times. Your birthday ain't came by two or three times. She's still on the other side.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. The experience with the whole situation, Ray, that I had with it was it was crazy. Like the dude would call, you know, he would just send like text messages that you needed two bubbles. Because it said continue. It's the whole book. And I was like, what the mess? And it was a whole book of ratchet stuff. You know, it was like, dude, who you think's going to read this? I'm gonna screenshot this and send it to the police, but I'm not going to read it. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And then what gets me is he would get with people and have them texting me. You know, I got your man, or you, what you threw away, I picked up. And I was like, okay, thanks. You know?
Right, that's what I was just thinking, too. I'd be like, I was just thinking the same thing. I'd be like, okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Yeah, because it's like, what? And so it's just crazy because you think to yourself, if we're done, why can't we be done? But it's proven that people's emotions are still tied in to the situation. And instead, there's some people that rather lash out than just go through the grieving process or the absence process. Here's the key. They can't handle rejection.
Right. Right. They can't handle rejection. You're right. You got people like that. They can't handle rejection.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
And no, I was saying, you know, you're right. People can't handle rejection. You know, it was a while back when I was in Georgia. I was in the Army, and this girl I had stopped talking to, and I was like, look, because it was just something about her. She was throwing off, and I just couldn't, I can't be her, and I don't do drama. So I was like, you know, I'm good. You know, we're going to terminate this thing. We ain't going to be together no more. You know, I'm done. So I drove off and left. I looked up in the mirror. She's following me. And what the what? And so I thought I ducked off and left her. I pulled up into some apartments to go holler at one of my friends. And lo and behold, this girl knocked on every door in the apartment until she found me.
Oh, Lord.
I said, man, that was like one of the times to me, like, you can't handle rejection. I'm done, you know. That's over with. And she was like, I mean, when I tell you knocked on every door, you can hear the knocks. I was sitting in the apartment. I'm like, did she follow me over here and knock on every door? Got to the door where I was sitting there. I said, ain't no way. But that right there that shows you that people can't handle rejection.
Crazy than a road lizard. Crazy.
What?
Than a road lizard. And but you know what? A lot of behaviors, you know, we always talk about how people were raised and what they experienced. You never know what
right.
a factor is. That's why I say before you get really, really serious with a person, you need to see them angry, you need to see them sad, you need to talk a lot. You need to really be around them a lot. You need to don't answer the phone for 2 days and see what they do. You know, you need to test the water.
Right.
Yeah, some people, man, listen, some people, you know, you go on one date with them, and I promise you, and you don't call them, oh, my Lord, your life is over. That they're going to show up at your job. And don't let them meet your parents. They're going to be at your parents' house. You're going to walk in. They sitting there drinking coffee. Man, you're some folk crazy out here. You have to be careful.
Yes.
You have to really, really be careful.
You got to be careful. Because, you know, I even see it with my daughter. She dating a guy, but if she don't, like, he called one. Well, apparently, she's with me, actually. And he was fussing because she was on the phone. I can hear the gist of the conversation on her, and I can tell. What he was talking about, he was like, you ain't answer the phone when I called? I'm like, what the what? And she started justifying it and all that. I'm like, I tried to tell her, I said, baby, you know, some people are just crazy. You gotta kind of just push those people out of your life because this man fussing at you because he said the phone rang, he called you and you didn't answer. Me personally, I'm like, I ain't got no control of the phone system. If AT&T or Sprint or whoever don't send the line through, that's not my problem. And then I can do about that. But, you know, some people, don't look at it like that. If it's ringing on their end, they figure you hear the ringing in the phone. You need to be picking it up. But I told her, I said, you got to understand, some people crazy.
Exactly.
Some people ain't got it all. You need to
just
push
that.
Away from stuff like that.
Yeah, just that. Because, and then it's like we are, man, the things that we allow and the red flags that we overlook. Well, we don't overlook them. We just move forward anyway, because I can't say
right.
we overlook them, because get in an argument with somebody, they gonna bring up every red flag they have.
What?
Everything, every problem, stuff you don't even remember doing, they gonna bring it up. So I can't say
for
that
real.
We overlook
it's coming
them
out.
They I could say they stash it somewhere just in case you got a problem with some of their crazy faults. They could come out of a bag on you and get to telling you why you so messed up. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know.
Right.
I was watching IMA. People talk about drama all the time, right? But I don't have like a drama. So I watch Ratchet TV. That's what me and my husband call Ratchet TV, which is The Housewives, I watch all Ratchet TV because it's drama that I can be a part of and then leave it, cut the TV off, so
right.
I'll be done.
Yeah.
But I was watching an episode of Love and Hip Hop, I think it's Atlanta, and the husband, the wife was saying that she has a lot of different hats that she has to do. And she is a rapper. You get what I'm saying? She's a mother, she's a wife, and she got some other thing going on. And she's a rapper, right? And so she's sitting there at the table with her husband, and she tells him, Ray, she says, I have to put on all these hats. You ever consider all of that? He tells her, but you have to be a businesswoman. This is her husband. You have to be a businesswoman. You have to make sure that you're on time, and money and stuff is wasted when you're not on time. And then I'm talking about not even 2 seconds later, he gets to talking about why are you not affectionate and why are you not spending more time doing this. And I was like, how did he flip that? But I said that to say this. A lot of times people know how to manipulate conversation, because you could be sitting there and you could be telling a person what the issue is, and they are not listening to you. They are hearing you and pulling different pieces out of the conversation to throw back at you. In other words, you ever had this conversation, Ray, where let me see, what's the example? You say, maybe you say, baby, we don't go out enough. That's, baby, we don't spend enough time together. You are always busy. Uh-huh. And I need more time with you. Okay. Right. Then she says this. I'm just giving an example. She turns around and says, why you think I don't want to spend time with you? Why you always talking about I ain't got no time for you? Why you always trip? Now he just gave her the key. See what I'm saying? She says, it's like you did not listen to me at all.
Right.
I think it's called listening, defensive listening. That's what I'm going to call it.
Defensive listening,
Is that what? Because you picking through the conversation to find ways to defend yourself instead of listening to the conversation to actually hear what a person is trying to tell you.
And you're right. Yep. I've seen that before with my ex. I'd be talking to her about something, and I'd be like, is that what you got out of that conversation? No, I ain't slow. Apparently, you missed yourself or missed something. I said, you're not listening. Apparently, no, I am listening. I said, you can't be listening. I said, because this is what I said, but you picked that little topic, that whole subject, that conversation I just said. I spent 5 minutes trying to tell you what I was trying to say. You picked one piece out of that whole 5 minutes. And you...
One piece.
Right. So I'd be like, I don't understand. Because like you said, some people overlook those, I guess you could say, bad parts of the other, or those warning signs, as you say. And I've seen that with myself and this friend of mine. I was trying to teach her, help her to be a trainer. She got this little baby daddy, and she'll come to me and tell me the stuff that's going on. And I'd be like, I'm tripping. But, you know, especially, you know, if I tell you something about my family, if me and you get to know each other and I tell you something about my family, right? And then you throw it in my face, whether it's good or bad, you throw it in my face, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, really? How that work? I said, you know, I told her, you need to, people like that, you got to kind of, you know, stop telling them everything, because I thought I could confide in him because me and him were supposed to be together. Oh, Lord. I said, sometimes, I'm like you, Queenie, sometimes you need to miss a couple of calls and see what's going to happen. And, you know, and some people, like you said, get in that conversation and they only pick certain things they want to talk about because they're not listening to the whole full conversation. That's a bad thing. I've ran into that with my ex.
Selective hearing.
Right.
But that's what I said. You know, it's also a product of selfishness. Self-righteousness and self-absorbed and what do they call it? Oh, my God, it's another one. self. Anyway, but it's like they're in a world where everything revolves around them. You're not in each other's life. You're in her life. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. And I've like, seen that too. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, because it's a lot of people like that. You are, like for instance, when men are, some men do a lot for women, right? They'll do
right.
so much for them. And the woman will be like, oh, he's so sweet and oh, he's so this. So you, she asks him for something and he goes off, right? And
right.
she's trying to figure out now, he does any and everything for me, but when I ask him for something, he goes off. Do you know that that's because, and whether it's male or female, that's because
right.
you are a part of their world. And in
right.
their world, they are doing for you. And it makes them look good. See what I'm saying? So
right.
it ain't even about you. You thought
yeah,
it's kind of like, I think I thought Jada, well, I heard Jada Pinkett talk about it. She said they had the perfect life, the perfect marriage, the perfect this, and it was really Will building the perfect picture. See what I'm saying? But she,
right.
he said she woke up and cried 40 days straight. Every morning she woke up and cried. He could not figure out what was going on with her. But it was because she was not happy. She had everything. You know what I'm saying? So he thought. Because he wanted to make sure he was a good provider. He wanted to make sure he
right.
was a good husband. He wanted to make sure. But he didn't stop to say what would make you happy.
You
what,
happy, right.
Yeah, what. Because in a lot of relationships, people don't realize that if I'm in a relationship with you, then I need to be thinking about what makes you happy. You see what I'm saying? I need to be
right.
having a conversation. I need to be learning you. I need to be finding out what makes you. And in on the flip side, you should be learning me. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But a lot of relationships, they'll go like that. He going to do what his daddy did. She going to do what her mama did. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And both people miserable. Both of them.
And like you said,
he's
trying to, he or she is trying to please, like you said, themselves. But they're thinking they're doing right.
Yeah.
They're thinking they're doing right because it's making, they looking at the situation. She might smile and be like, oh, that's so nice and sweet. She's excited. But in her mind, she's still not happy because it's not what she wanted. And some guys,
yeah.
like you said, or females have to take the time and sit down and talk to their mate or their friend or whoever and find out what's on their mind, what will make you happy, which it might not be the materialistic things. It might not be all the stuff you're bringing her. It could be just spending
yeah.
time together.
Spending time together, man. And you know, that's why we hear a lot in relationships when they're in trouble. You'll hear this phrase right here. Didn't I give you this big old house? Didn't I
right.
do this? Didn't I get you a brand new? I get you a brand new car every year. But Luther Vandross said, "Buy me a rose on the way home from work."
Right.
It's the simple things.
It's the simple things that matter.
The little
That's right.
things. Yeah. Have
right.
you bought her some flowers? When you come in complaining from work, have you stopped to say, "Baby, how are you doing?" Or have
right.
when, like a lady. Some women, as soon as their husband comes through the door, they biting their head off. Did you ask him how was his day?
How was his day? Right, right.
You know,
right. That's right.
And that's why a lot of relationships, man, don't make it. And affairs happen. See, people don't want to hear that, but that's the harsh truth. When that woman is empty, you get what I'm saying? When she's empty, you leave space for somebody else to come in
right.
and do what you're not doing.
Because that
now,
person,
yes.
Because that person is going to do those simple things that you're not doing.
That you're not doing.
That's right.
That you're not doing. And so it's a lot of factors, you know, and some people say, why would you say that? But in the Word of God, it even talks about it. It says you don't go to bed mad at each other. You don't,
right.
It says render unto your spouse do benevolence. right?
It says
love your wife like Christ loved the church, and he gave his life for the church. He say don't harm your wife because you wouldn't harm yourself. You treat her like you would treat yourself, you know?
Right.
So it's a lot of selflessness.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That has to play a part in a relationship. Boy, we done spent a whole hour on this topic, huh? Let me see what time we're working with. This is a good little topic, huh?
All of that?
Yeah. Oh, we got 18 minutes. So, so talk to me, Ray. What you got going on? I know you did Fitness Evolution. You did that this morning. So talk to us a little bit about fitness. What did you discuss today?
Well, today I talked a little bit about stay ready. You never have to get ready.
Oh, yeah. I saw that in the description. Stay ready. You won't have to get ready. Okay. Go.
Because, you know, I tell people I base that off of two things. And one, I think I told you before, one is when I tell my clients, especially like basketball players, football players, whatever sports you play or whatever you do or the goals you're reaching, you have to stay ready so you never have to get ready. Because if you're a basketball player in high school and you're going to go to college playing basketball, you can't stop playing basketball while you're in college. I mean, in high school, and think you're just going to jump out there on the court in college. Because that same position you're shooting for, somebody else shooting for it too. And I had a young guy that was playing football. He was going to we was in Texas, and he was his mom came to me and wanted me to help him out. She didn't want him to be a statistic because he liked to go hang out and drink with his friends and all this other stuff. So, and she came to me crying and wanted me to help him and all that. I said, okay, I have no problem with that. So I talked to him and pulled him to the side. I said, man, look, your mama came to me. She wanted me to take care of you, make sure you get ready for this scholarship for football for Jackson State. So he was like, well, I ain't got to do nothing. I ain't got to get ready. They're going to get me ready when I get there. I said, wrong answer. I said, because you have to stay ready so you never have to get ready, because when you go out there to that football field, that coach is expecting you to be able to perform a certain way because that person, that scout, has watched you play football in high school. So you think that you can stop playing football or practicing or learning the fundamentals and jump out on a college field? I said, what position you play? He's like, receiver. I said, do you know how many people coming out of high school from different cities or different states to go to this school to be a receiver? You know how many people are going to be trying out for that same receiver position you're trying out for?
Hmm.
He was like, yeah, you right. I said, well, I'm just trying to say, you got to stay ready so you never have to get ready, because now they're going to tighten up whatever they need to tighten up as far as your catching skills, your running skills, your drills, or whatever the case may be, but you got to be ready at all times. And I tell people, I base it, too, off the Bible, because the Bible, when people read the Bible, they go to church, because they're staying ready in God's word, because they say when Jesus come back, he's going to call everybody forward. And when the ones he called that's been doing what they're supposed to do, you can't go to Jesus and say, hold up. I need to read something. Hold up. I got to do this. No, he wants you ready. When he comes, he wants you ready.
So when
you're in the Bible, you got to stay ready. So you never have to get ready, because when that man comes, you can't tell him to hold up, wait a minute, give me 5 minutes, because he ain't waiting. He told you what to do. He already gave you the Bible as what people say the acronym stand for, basic instructions. Before leaving earth.
Mm-hmm.
He gave you the fundamentals. He gave you the guidelines of what you need to do. The Bible said, be ye also ready, right?
Yeah, he always is. In season and out of season.
So, you know,
I like what you're talking about, because a lot of you think that, like, for example, talk to us a little bit. I know I'm going to get you back on subject. But I think a lot of those young people that was dropping dead from heart attacks and stuff like that, when they started playing sports, is because their body really wasn't conditioned for the sport they started playing. That you,
right.
you know, a lot of them had started was eating junk all summer, you know, and then go out there on the football field, you know, or get to playing basketball and having heart attacks and strokes and all kinds of stuff and falling out. And I'm saying, if you knew you wanted to play sport, right, you were serious about
right.
it, and this goes to the parents too, they would have been making sure that they were eating right, they were exercising all summer. You know, I ain't a pro or nothing. I'm just saying it just makes sense that, like you said, there would have been some preparation before you decide to step foot on the court. Because even when I was in school and we running track, playing basketball, volleyball, and all of that, during the summer we had to train, we had to run. You see what I'm saying? So our bodies could be conditioned, especially for cross country. I had to,
right.
you know, there was no I'm gonna get out there. Oh, I got this. I, you know, and I didn't eat 15 bowls of Cheerios. You know what I'm saying? I didn't ate all kinds of heavy duty meals. I had to be light and ready to run
right.
that distance.
Okay. Right, that's right. And what happens is parents, and I'm like you, parents is part of that because the parents want their kid to play ball. They want to play sports. But when you're sitting at home and every time Johnny wants a Big Mac from McDonald's or Burger King, or instead of cooking them a nice healthy meal and then making them get out here and exercise and do some outside activities, they want to let them stay in the house and play these video games. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
And like you said, a lot of these youth are getting out here on these football fields and basketball courts and dying. And one thing for sure, and I'm sure 9 out of 10, most parents know this before they get on the court, to have their kids checked
mm-hmm.
out because they're supposed to have a physical anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids are supposed to get a physical before they start any sports anyway. And if that physical had any abnormalities on there, the coach wasn't supposed to let them play from the get-go. But the ones that did come out perfect, and like you said, they come out here eating everything. They don't want to go outside and practice. They don't want to go outside and run no drills. They don't want to go do no jogging. They don't want to do anything. But they think, oh, I'm good. I'm good. Shoot, when I get on that field, I'm going to tear them loose. But you get out there on that field and you can stretch the heart out because the heart is going back from being active to being sedentary.
Yeah.
And people don't realize the cardiovascular activity, which is running, jogging, walking, skipping rope, whatever the case may be, anything to raise your heart rate, helps to strengthen the muscle. And that muscle in your body is the heart. And what people don't realize, people that are sedentary, you know, I'm going to give you two categories. You got a person that's sedentary, and you got a person that's active. The person
mm-hmm.
that's sedentary, his or her heart has to pump really hard every time it beats to pump that blood through the whole body. It pumps it in, takes in the bad, puts out the new with the oxygen and nutrients or whatever, takes in the bad, and it pumps real hard. Now, you take somebody that's active, they out here running, they exercising, getting their heart rate up, it strengthens that muscle. So that same pump that heart has been pumping for the active and the sedentary person, his heart is pumping like tapping cotton, and
yeah.
his heart is pumping softer, but the heart is still performing as that sedentary person, but the sedentary
mm-hmm.
heart has to work a little harder. And I tell people
wow.
a lot of times what I feel a lot of times when people have heart attacks and they die, a lot of times
mm-hmm.
I believe it's because most people aren't exercising. And if you get somebody that has a heart attack and survives, that's because their heart
mm-hmm.
was strong, and it was strong enough to keep moving or keep pumping after they brought them back or got them to the hospital to do whatever procedure they need to do. But people that
mm-hmm.
just die because I think the heart is not strong enough to handle the stress. But like you
yeah.
said, the youth
yeah.
has the parents. I blame the parents too because you want your kids to play ball, but you're not making them be active. You're not letting them go out here and play basketball. Get them a basketball to dribble, take outside. Quit letting them play video games. My ex, her son wanted to play basketball, but she wouldn't let him go to the park to play. She wouldn't let him go to the court. Well, it's too dangerous out there. He wanted to go to the neighborhood to play ball. No, because it's too much going on in the world. Really? You wanted to play ball, but you only let him practice at school when he go to PE or whatever. But then he don't make the team, then you tell him better luck next time. But you're not putting forth any effort. But if you want to play a video game, you want to buy it for him, you'll buy that. And he can sit in the house all day.
Yeah. But, you know, that's also that cuddling. You know, we came up, like I tell people, I came up in the country, you going to get out the house. You going to get up out that house. Soon as Granny, listen, my grandmother was mother. Soon as mother finished, because she was up before the rooster crowed.
Right.
And baby,
right.
She had some smothered chicken. I don't want to go into it, my God. Rice.
Stop it.
And
I already know.
Preserves, Jesus.
What?
I don't know.
What?
But guess what? After you ate that and helped wash them dishes, you out there.
You don't have this house.
And she's sitting that water on that poach.
Yep. And then some people don't get the water on the poach. You better go turn that water hose on.
You better get that water hose.
Man,
on that day that she
didn't
put that. See, she put, my uncle used to work at the paper mill in Texarkana. So he worked at the paper mill, and when he so he had access to like Gatorade. He would bring like tons of Gatorade, so we had Gatorade. But if she didn't sit that igloo out there on that porch, baby, you better make it to that water hole. And we we ran up and down the streets racing each other, playing football. We were doing so much stuff outside. Tag your it, all of that. You know what I'm saying? Hide and seek. Some of y'all play hide and go get it, and if you still playing it, you're going to hell. I'm just saying. Let's move on.
I'm glad you said that. I got to stop. I'm going to have a game tonight. My bad. I'm just playing.
Oh, Lord. So, you know, we were always outside. Bicycles, baby. The tires didn't come on that bike. The handlebars came from another bike. We patched up tires, baby, and was up and down them hills. Listen.
I already know what you're talking about.
We wasn't in no house. Didn't want to be in no house, really.
Nope.
Didn't want to.
Nope.
Then don't let it snow and then it's ice on the hills, man. We got them wasn't it plywood and all kinds
and
of stuff. Garbage
what?
Can lids and going down the hill, baby. That's how it was.
I already know.
But like I say, this is a different time. It's like the parents, oh, I don't want you out of my sight. Oh, I don't want you this, that, and the other. Baby, lady, listen, put them outside and lock the door. Sit a
right.
Grape juice on a stool.
You
see what I'm saying?
Know,
now, I'm going to tell you, go ahead.
I blame a lot of these parents, like you said, that cuddling thing. And I look at, and I, this is my opinion. When you got a 15, 14-year-old girl dressed in Hoochie Mama clothes, and then just as soon as one of them get kidnapped or one of these little perverts around here look at them crazy, the thing you want to say is, why you mess with my daughter? But you don't, back in the day, a girl wouldn't be dressing like that. Would she be wearing tights?
Ooh. Baby,
no.
If she did have them on, you weren't going to see them. They
you
were under her skirt or something. You weren't going to see them.
That's right.
Baby, now the tights be pulled up, man. Listen, they don't have no shirt on. You can see their underwear, the polka dots, the flowers. You could some of them ain't got none on, so you could basically just see straight through them. And I was looking at it today, and I'm not judging folk. I'm just talking about modesty, and that's because I'm a Christian. You know, modesty. Honestly, people don't want to hear about that no more because everything is about shape and behinds and breasts.
Right.
And well, it's been about that, but people were more conservative with it. Now, if anything and everything goes, show it. Show somebody what you got. Be proud of what you got. But I can be proud of what I got in a muumuu. I'm just going to be real with you. You just,
all
and
the
my
time.
Life ain't shaped. my life, we are teaching our young girls to let our life, let their lives be contingent, or their happiness to be contingent on the size and shape of their bodies instead
That's
of
right.
their minds.
And, That's right.
and you know, or their talents and gifts. And a lot of these girls, they can't cook. They can't do any housework. And the first thing they want to say is, why a woman got to know how to cook? Everybody needs to know how to cook.
That's right.
Everybody. Because
That's
you
right.
got to eat.
Everybody in the house. That's right.
But, yeah, it's just, it's a different time.
It's a different generation
and,
because
different
I was in
generation.
The store the other day. I was in the store the other day. And I saw the mom from a glance. I was like, she and the mom had a nice shape, Coke bottle. You know, she had her little jeans on. She turned around and smiled, had all these goals in her mouth. But she had her daughter and her son there. And I was like, I'm tripping because, and I be wanting to say stuff so bad to people, but I had to keep my mouth closed because I be wanting to ask them, why you got your daughter dressed like that? This girl couldn't be no more than 13, 14 years old. She got on super tights. That's like when I did security in Texas. I used to be a bouncer in like the skating ring when they had kids night on 13 ages, 13 to 17. And I'm sitting at the door and they dropping their kids off. And the little girl's getting at the cars with these hoochie mama clothes on. One night it's so cold, these girls still wearing little mini skirts. And I asked one of them, I said, your mama let you come out here like that? I said, I don't understand. Look, and the girl was 15. Now, mind you, the age was 13 and 17. One of the girls was about, she had to be about 15, 14. She had paw print tattoos coming up her thigh.
Oh,
I said, I wasn't trying to be mean. I wasn't trying to get in her business. But that's just where I was raised. You know, I'm from the South, and I'm older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all that right there. You don't get tattoos and all that when you're that age. But anyway, I said, your daddy know you got all these tattoos? Because your mama dropped her off, so apparently she knows. And she said, yeah, my daddy paid for it. I said, you right, my mouth closed. I'm good.
Mm.
Let me be quiet. Now, if daddy's paying for it, too, and she got, I'm talking about paw print tattoos. Now, who wears that at 15
paw
or 14 years old?
Paw print tattoos. Wow.
Yeah, one up a thigh. Yeah,
well,
going from her legs up to a thigh. Really?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, we in a generation where, well, the Bible did talk about that the children, when they're born in this day and time, they'll be more wise than it. They'll be more wise, and they'll be more, So it's like this is what we're working with, this generation we're working with. And even some of the old school ways we try to teach these children, it's like they are not scared of anything. They're not scared of discipline. They're not scared of walking off from you. Like I just posted this little girl that was spitting at her mama, kicking the seat, all kinds of stuff. They're not scared. You know, they're not scared of what we used to be scared of. Oh,
right.
Okay, girl, I'm about to get off of here. So today was a good show. I guess we ought to wrap this show up. I've had a good time with my guest co-host today, Trainer Ray. Come on, holler at us, Trainer Ray. Talk to us about that book. I'm trying to get that book out there and how everybody can get a hold of it.
Oh, yeah, I got this recipe book out there. You know, it's family-based.
You got 19 seconds.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's based on family base, you know, cooking together with the family. And you can contact me at fitnessevolution350@yahoo.com, and you can contact me to get the book. And thank y'all for joining us.
All right, y'all. That's it. Remember, stay true to your gospel soul. We love you. Bye-bye.